guys, so welcome back to Witch DNA 101, and I'm continuing my series on Witch 101. So this is my second podcast. Thank you for revisiting or for stopping by the first time. If this is your first time, let's see, my last podcast was my first. You guys learned, all my listeners learned about me. So now I'm going to talk to you guys about what I use to cleanse my tools, grounding and protecting. The last podcast, I mentioned that when I do my next one, I will be letting you guys know how often the frequency which you guys can be expecting to hear from me. So I'm going to be talking about that. What makes my Wicca different from yours? What's a sexy witch? And so let's get started. So what I use to cleanse my tools. Now I had gotten this in pretty much almost done with this part, and then I started getting my daughter call me and interrupted the podcast. I'm like, oh, she didn't know, but now she knows. Not to interrupt mom's podcast, please. So, what I use to cleanse my tools is, and I got them, the thing I'm going to mention first, I got this from my grandmother. She's a witch, and I grew up learning about, with stories about my mom, and somebody had put a hex on her, and I don't remember if she was pregnant with me or one of my other sisters, but they had cast a circle, and they used salt in casting the circle, and then somebody did something. One of my grandmother's sisters did something, or one of her friends did something in the middle of the circle, because she was a coven witch. And so she did something in the middle of the circle and broke the hex. So I love using salt. I use salt to cleanse my tools. I use salt to cleanse rooms. I use salt to set a barrier. I use I'll use salt at my doorway, at my windows, you know, and let's see. And okay, I'm going to mention this. It's going to might sound weird, but you know how salt is used as a seasoning. Salt can also be used to season your tools. You know, to season your tools, like your athame or athame, what the other tools that you might have. Now, as for tools, I mean, especially like if you're a new witch, I mean, it's okay to go out and get, you know, what witch's standard tools are. But if you see something that catches your eye, that's your natural curiosity. And natural curiosity is healthy. Curiosity is healthy. Yes, there should be boundaries set. And we'll get into that in probably the next podcast. But what you want to do is you want to go ahead and allow your curiosity to play. And so if you pick up a cauldron, or if you pick up a anything that's out there, there's a whole, if you go into a metaphysical shop, you know, not just a crystal shop, but a real metaphysical shop that's, you know, about, you know, being a witch, then you're going to find all kinds of stuff in there. And I've been doing this over, oh my God, about 20 years now. That I've been doing this on my own. My mom's craft is her craft. My grandmother's craft is her craft. So I don't, even though I'm a hereditary, it goes through down through my family line. That's I spoke about that in my first podcast. My craft is my craft. So I mean, I just don't prescribe to a lot of things that, like, my grandmother would. She was a coven witch, and so she did things that were, you know, in line with the bylaws and stuff of her coven. My mom was more of a solitary, but she was, you know, my grandmother, you know, raised her coven-wise. And I explained that on the first podcast. Lord have mercy. Me, I do just go by my own instincts, which is quite normally on my own path. Okay, so this crystals can definitely cleanse your chores. I have a block of amethyst I use. I like amethyst because amethyst is one of those crystals that does not have to be charged. My mouth is not working right today. Thanks to Mercury retrograde, which is about to go direct on the 31st. Yay! So, bear with me till then, please. Even past then. Amethyst is one of those crystals that does not have to be cleansed, but it cleanses other tools. It removes negativity from other tools, from other things and other crystals. Citrine is another one of those crystals that doesn't have to be charged. There's quite a few of them, but I can tell you about the ones that I keep near me a lot, and that's citrine and amethyst. You can also use obsidian, jet, onyx, and tourmaline. Please try to stay away from tektite. Don't go near tektite. Tektite actually works in the opposite. It actually attracts and does not push away or banish or, you know, just get rid of the negative energies that you're trying to cleanse your tools away from. You know, get away from your tools. So let's see what else. Water, running water. Please make sure that's running water, for God's sake, not stagnant water. That's something getting into something else. Stay away from that. Clear running water. Okay, make sure it's not like a lake that's standing still and it looks so beautiful and serene. Make sure it's running water, like if you got a brook, a stream with a rushing brook. If you're near a waterfall, or, you know, turn on your sink, that's running water. Okay, make sure that it is running water. Running water is actually water that is purifying and cleansing itself. So that's the thing about that. Smoke. You can use smoke to cleanse your tools. Smoke can be in the form of candle smoke. It can be in the form of incense, like, I would use sage. Sage to cleanse your tools is great. Dragon's blood is awesome. That's like an all-purpose cleanser. Lavender, pine, cedar, patchouli. Those are great ones. And then when I finish using those incenses, I also, and it cleans your home too. Just with sage, I would only use sage for negative, like just to upkeep of clear energy that's already been cleared. But you know how you just trying to keep your house clean, you know, I would use it then, but I wouldn't use it to actually be a remover itself, because it has properties and it's in the energy of it that actually can incite the negativity you're trying to get away from. More on that in future podcasts. But dragon's blood is great. You can use that. see, cedar. I love using cedar. I use cedar and pine more than I use dragon's blood. I can tell you that pine, to me, is less effective in removing negative energy vibrations. Cedar and dragon's blood are the strongest. Make sure you're getting pure dragon's blood, or as pure as you can get it. Don't get it from Walmart. Nothing like that, because that will just, oh no, that would not be good. And like I said, more into incenses and scents and fragrances and stuff like that, oils, stuff like that, in later podcasts. Bless your back. Other things you can use to cleanse your tools is sun. You can set it out in the sun. Set your tools out in the sun and let the sun beam down on them for one full day, or just for a few hours if you really need to use them soon. That's just fine. Moonlight. I prefer moonlight, even though I absolutely love the sun. I love being outside in the sun. It's just like, it just charges me, and I feel so energetic and so filled with positive energies. Like my aura, my energy, my tower of energy is full when I'm out in the sun. And I mean, positive, I'm thinking, like, my whole way of thinking changes. And my intentions I set are more powerful. I'm thinking clearer. I'm more on top of my game. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But I prefer the moonlight, because the moonlight is, I feel closer to the veil that's between our world and the next. And it's a highly spiritual feeling for me. And so, the way I do it, from, if I'm going to use the moon, I'm going to do it from waning all the way through to waxing. Now, you don't have to use the full moon cycle, especially if you need to, use your tools before the full moon cycle is done. What you can do, and it's about to storm, so beautiful. So much energy in storms, and I'm getting to that next. But what you can do is you can do it through the waning moon, from waning to full, or you can do it under a new moon, you can do it under a full moon. The thing you don't want to do it under a waxing moon alone, or from full to waxing, because it's the intentions of this moon cycles. So the waning moon, the purpose of the waning moon, that in cleansing your tools, is to get rid of, spell away, banish whatever, any negativity that might be attached to or around someone, you know, else's energy that might be on the tools, that you're trying to get rid of their energy so that you can, you know, put your energy into it, all that great stuff. You want to do that under a waning moon, and, you know, pray, you know, or cast a spell, same thing, for that energy to be removed. Great for that. Full moon is even great for that. But when you get to the waxing moon is when the energy of the moon is attracting. The moon is getting bigger, going to a full moon, I believe. Been a while since I've had to cleanse tools, been a while since I did it under a full moon cycle. But let's see. Yeah, so the waxing moon is when you want to invoke or invite in, bring in things that you want. So you really don't want to be talking about things that you're trying to push away, because the energy is just going to be less effective. And I'm not trying to say that if you do it under a waxing moon, then you're going to invite things you don't want. It could happen. Just don't do it. Caution. Be cautionary. Be a caution. a cautionary witch. That's a great term, cautionary witch. And, you know, just be responsible in that way, okay? Now, storms, and it's getting ready to storm. Cleansing your tools, you can bury them in the earth in a flower pot for a certain length of time. You can set them out in a storm. And what the storm does is the rain. There's energy in the storm. There's so much intense magical energy in the storm. And the storm, when it rains, guess what? That's running water. So perfect. Not only do you have that cleansing from the running water, but you also have that electric magical energy from the storm that you're putting that energy into your tools. Okay, let's see. If you use candle, you can use a certain color like white, purity, or black to get rid of negativity. Stuff like that. Okay, so and there's a lot of other ways to cleanse tools. But these are just some. These are the ones I've used mainly. Next on, we're going to move on to grounding and protecting. Okay, now the purpose of grounding is to make sure that you are balanced, that your outside is balanced with your inside. So when you are ungrounded, you can be off balance. Your thinking can be scattered. You just feel like you're out of place with your energy's out of place with the energy around it, the environment around it, and you just feel off sorts. You might accidentally drop things, lose things, and stuff like that. Now, I have theories around me, and if you hear the first podcast, then you understand what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Even if you understand or not, you know what I'm talking about. And so they kind of misplace things or take things and put them back, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you are ungrounded. And this is why you want to be grounded. And in setting an intention for your spell, you want to have a direct intention, be as direct as possible. And with being so off, you cannot be as direct as you can be. You're not at your most direct. You're not even at your best, really. But if you are ungrounded and you do a spell, I'm not saying that it's not going to work or that it's going to reverse. I'm just saying that in order for it to be as powerful or direct as you would like, then you need to be grounded. And that's good, not just for casting a spell, but for every day. It's like when you wake up in the morning. This is what I do. When I wake up in the morning, I say, you know, thank you, universe, for everything good that's happening in my life today. I try to do that as often as I can remember. And I also do my grounding prayer. And this is what I do mostly. Okay. And from the first podcast, you know who my other mentor is besides my mom and my grandma. After them, right after them, when I first stepped out on my own, the shaman. So she taught me a grounding ritual that I use, but it takes more time. And this one here that I came up with, and your own spells and rituals, to me, have the most power because it comes from you and it's so heartfelt. It came from your own creation. It came from something inside of you, and that has its own power altogether. And so what I do, and I've always been one with the universe, always been one with trees and the air, and this, it's just something, a haunting, beautiful
connection I've always had, a pull, a deep pull I've always had. And so I love being outside where I can feel. And when I'm not able to come outside or too lazy to come outside, I have a seashell that I hold onto, and it represents earth for me, and it has an energy that just, when I hold onto it, I just feel it vibrate all through my body. And so what I say is, as above, so below, because that connects the air and the earth. It makes it one, because we're all one. We're all one part of the whole universe. The whatever happens in the universe happens in our plane of existence also. So as above, so below. Spiritual protection around me grows. My roots, and then when I get to this part, I try my best to envision. And it's good to do this earthing or barefoot. It's called earthing now. I didn't call it earthing back way back in the day, like in the 70s and 80s when I was doing it. But it's earthing. It's I just barefoot growing up in Kansas, just outside barefoot. And the same way I explained to you guys about the seashell that I use for grounding, that's what I feel when I have the earth beneath my feet. No shoes, no socks on. It's just an intense connection. I'm like a tree with the roots, dead like my ancestors, or down in the dirt, and I can feel them vibrating through my feet, up through my whole body. And so, as I say that part, my roots, my roots connect deep in the earth. I imagine my roots going deep into the earth. And now you can just perfunctory imagine that, or as I was taught by the shaman, Francesca de Grandis, you can imagine your roots breaking soil, that topsoil, breaking soil, and what that feels like, the energy just in that. Then as it goes down through each layer of soil, that individual energy connect that to the darkness as it reaches down, the cool, wet darkness that is so loving and protective. And then it just keep, your roots just keep going down, digging down and breaking down through layers in layers of dirt, rocks and gravel and other roots from any other thing that might be growing, and just reach down to the very, till you get to the very center of the earth where it's hot and beautiful, and it's so hot there. And then once you get there, once I get there, I say, divine energies, ground me and protect me, home and hearth. Now, I say ground me and protect me, ground me and protect my home, my home in itself, the physical home, and hearth is everything that makes my home at home. So, maybe one day I'll teach you guys the grounding technique that actually got me here to where I can identify how I felt and connect even deeper when I'm earthing. It's just absolutely amazing. Get yourself a shaman. I think everybody should have a shaman in their life somewhere, a real shaman. That takes about 20 years plus to be a real shaman. Get you a shaman, because not all shamans that are quick shamans know what they're doing. I'm not, negating anybody's expertise or whatever, but if I were to get another shaman, it would be somebody like Francesca that has 20 plus years of training with one-on-one training with a real shaman. A shaman, I should say. Not real shaman. He's a real shaman that she was trained by, but saying real shaman to me sounds like I'm negating the validity of other shamans. And I don't mean to do that. Okay, so now we're going to frequency of my posts. You guys can expect to hear from me 4 to 5 days of the week. Okay, so I don't know how long my podcasts are going to be. Probably about an hour each time, I guess, because I like to talk, as you guys can probably see or hear. But yeah, about 45 days a week. On to what makes my Wicca different from yours. The same thing that makes my Wicca different from yours is the same thing that makes your Wicca different from mine. So, everybody, this is my ethics. I think I mentioned in my first podcast that how I feel that every witch should have their own code of ethics. Let me rephrase that. Every witch should have a code of ethics, whether it's her or its own, or a coven or whatever. There should be a code of ethics that is strictly adhered to, that creates boundaries. And boundaries help keep you safe. Now, boundaries are different where they don't hinder natural curiosity, but they hinder you from going where you don't need to go. Okay? So, I have a code of ethics that I, through the years, I have developed. I had a code of ethics growing up because I had my family's code of ethics. Then I learned from Francesca a code of ethics that, you know, as you go through, you learn and you update or you upgrade. So I did that. I updated my code of ethics or upgraded my code of ethics as I went along. And this is from experience. I do my own thing. Back in the day, I would call myself a solitary, an eclectic solitary, but that doesn't really fit me anymore. And just because you start out a certain way as a witch doesn't mean you can't change that. You can change your type of witchery as many times as you want, actually. It's not your social security number. It's not your... It's your, like... My podcast is called Witch's DNA 101 because a lot of things I'm going to be talking about are going to be from a hereditary perspective. But being so, the hereditary perspective is my DNA. I cannot change that. But the other things about being a witch, the type of witch I am, I can change. And I can change as much as I want. So can you. But of course, like in any religion or any sect, there are going to be people who are traditionalists, as I say, and they might feel that what you start with is what you stay with. They might frown upon that. There's going to be people to frown upon anything that you do, no matter if you're right or if you're wrong. So, and I'm gay, so I always have somebody frowning up at me, so that's fine. I'm used to it. You know, I'm still going to do things my way. So I branched out as an eclectic solitary in the fairy tradition, the third road. And then now as I went through, I have transitioned maybe once, actually. I didn't transition that much, but I did like maybe once. And now I'm really
deeply feeling the call, universe, putting it in my spirit to join a coven. So, and there's none around me, none that really want to, there's none around me. There's one that I reached out to, but I haven't heard back yet. But, and there's no members, but I'm going to start my own. So be listening for information on that coming up in the near future. So now we'll talk about what my coven will be about, what the bylaws would be, and all that kind of stuff in subsequent podcasts. Okay, so everybody's wicket is different. The only thing that binds, that stays the same, is the reed. The Wiccan reed. The most important part is, and ye harm none, do what ye will. Harm none, okay? That means asking permission before you cast a spell on somebody. Even if it's to help them. Not disrespecting people's free will, not using your gifts to be nosying into stuff. Yes, I guess you can use it to nosy, but don't be going around gossiping and telling people and stuff, because that's considered harm, because that hurts people. Gossip hurts people. And the reason why you want to do that is because we believe that, and yes, my grandmother was not Wiccan, okay? She was not. She was of a Celtic tradition, and her coven, I do believe, was if not centered around, had strong ties or traditions that are tied into the modern Gardnerian. She could have been Druidic. I think it might have been a mixture of both. I'm not sure. I know that it was highly secretive about their initiations and stuff like that. Whatever you do, you have to put yourself. That's one thing I say that you have to do. Put yourself into your craft. Because a craft should be an extension of you. Just like when you read tarot cards. I'll get into that later. I have some strong viewpoints about that, but I'll get into that later in other podcasts. But your cards should feel like an extension of you, your craft, your witchiness, your Wicca, or your oh my God, there's so many different types of witch. There's a hearth witch. There's a sea witch. There's all kinds of different witches, and I'll get into those in subsequent podcasts. But whatever it is, you make it yours. Okay? Unless you're in a coven, because you got to go by the by, you know, work within your whatever area of freedom you got within those bylaws if you're in a coven. Now on to our last thing we're going to talk about. What is a sexy witch? A sexy witch is a witch that influences her room. Any room she walks into, whatever the room is, she influences. She can manipulate the energy in the room just by being present. Just by being in the room. It's like the energy turns around and is focused on her. And it's like, wow, I just saw a beautiful strike lightning bolt. But the energy turns around. It's completely focused on her. It's absolutely beautiful. I am a sexy witch. I am an energy worker. I work off of energy, and I know how to influence a room. I used to, when I was a child, I used to work with the energy in storms. Yes, that's for information on that, or a subsequent podcast. But, a sexy,
sexy witch knows how to work a room. She knows how to work energy, weave it, an energy weaver. Not that she builds energy, she's doing that, but that she knows how to manipulate and bend it just by being present. She doesn't have to do anything really. She just uses what's naturally in her, and energy just naturally falls to her will. And energy around people, energy in the room, energy around people, it's so hard to explain. But a sexy witch is an energy worker. Can you be a sexy witch? Learn to work with your energy. Learn to work with the energy of others without manipulating them so that you're causing no harm to their free will. Now, you don't have to be Wiccan to enjoy this channel. You can be any type of witch. You can enjoy this channel. If harming none, such as manipulating others or manipulating their energy, is not really of a concern for you, then play on. I'm not encouraging it, universe, but I support it. I support the type of witch you are, as long as you are positive and you're not a mean or evil witch. You're not hexing people. Hexing people can bring devastating results, and in my opinion, you might be able to do things to protect yourself from the hex returning back on you in this lifetime, but that's a only thing you can't control is this lifetime. The karma will still have your ass in the next lifetime. When you die, karma will still have your ass. And if karma didn't get your ass this lifetime, karma's gonna grab that ass the next. Okay, so it would behoove you not to hex people. Bonding or binding spells, like the freezer spell, very interesting, wonderful teacher, mentor, wonderful woman, Claire Sage. She taught me and my fellow witches on a Facebook page that was started by Lucy Baker. She's a certified demonologist, the only one that I would ever swear by. And Claire Sage, she's awesome as well, but even she directs people to Lucy. Taught me the freezer spell. It's a very, very simple, yet amazingly effective spell. And it's a binding spell. But I don't consider that as harm. I'm like half Wiccan and half not. As far as the read, the reed is concerned, yes, I'm Wiccan. But other things, I don't do all the gods and goddesses and stuff like that. Like I said, I do my own thing. Eclectic, yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. But I'm actually trying to formulate myself into one thing, and I don't know what that's going to be, and I don't know how long I'm going to stay there, but it's something that I want to try. But even though the freezer spell is a binding spell, to me it does not manipulate the free will. It creates a boundary. It creates a barrier. And in that barrier, the energy that was used to manipulate you, in my experience, it gets neutralized. And either A, the person leaves you alone, or B, it just freezes. It just stops the negativity. Or it actually, whatever it needs to be done, that's the energy that it affects with that person. So it's not always that it stops negativity, but it stops it in different ways, however you need it to be done. And I always say, before you, when you do a spell, when you set your intention into a spell, always, 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 true CYA, to cover your ass, always use positive intentions for that person. Like, I did a binding spell for this person who was just getting on my nerves, my last nerves. And instead of saying, just go away, be buried under the earth, or be thrown in a tree or whatever, I knew that there were some things that this person wanted to achieve in their life. And if they achieve those things, then they will leave me alone. And so I asked the universe to bless them with something that will help them to not be so negative. I worked on myself first. I cleansed myself first, and I worked on my anger that I had towards the person, to where either that was neutralized or gone. And I actually put forth energy wishing goodwill unto the person. And that works very effectively. Once I just, this other person that I did a banishing spell on, or go away spell, I just went and I did it. And it's something I have to do, like, way away from society, like off on the hill or in the park by myself, so people don't think I'm crazy. But like the next day, this person was always on time, always a good employee that showed up every day. This person just didn't show up, and they were gone for about maybe 3 months, and something weird had happened. Like, they had something weird happened to his dad, and I don't think his dad died or anything. It wasn't that bad of a spell. I don't ever do a spell like that. Oh, I pray, I hope I never do a spell that results in that. But it was just something weird that was never explained. There was never a purpose, a reason why that person went home for that, all of a sudden, for that length of time. And there had been no mention of any relative of his at that time, like his dad or his mom or any immediate family being ill, sick, or anything. He would talk a lot about, he talked to his dad, now they laughed over the phone, yada yada yada, but he never said anything about being sick. And there really was no report on how the person was doing, how his dad was doing. It's just weird. Like, the reason why he had to go see his dad never really got put together where you can even make a sense, make a story out of it. So, but I did not, I just went and I used my anger into the spell, and so that happened, like, so fast. And I think it might have been storming that night when I did it. It was at night, and to me, nighttime has more power in a spell when I do it outside, unless I'm in the sun. The sun for me is great for grounding and protecting. And I would do my grounding, like I taught you guys, like I told you guys, in the morning. And I also do it before I do any readings, and sometimes after.
And then when I do a reading, I will cut the cord in the reading. Because we always have cords that's going on. No matter who we meet, whatever. There is some type of cord. The cord is invisible. It's an invisible energy cord. And, you know, this cord, not everything. It's like it's sticky. It attaches to good things. Attaches to bad things. Whatever. It's just really good to not muck up your energy. Not muck up your aura with all that. And just... every now and then, as your guides, your angels, your higher self, your higher power, whatever, your god, goddesses, whatever, to cut the cord for you. Okay, and that's it for this second podcast. I am actually living in an area. I've always lived in an area that has such a deep, deep, deep spiritual vibration in the place that I lived in, like the city, the town, the location. So, like Colorado Springs is highly, deeply spiritual. Here in Houston, there's a metaphysical witchiness about that. And then there's Louisiana, I'm right near there, and it's just wonderful. I do feel like and I'm a numerologist also, and so using the number, how it vibrates, as it vibrates with my numbers, doesn't really mesh well, so it requires of me to be stronger. So I have to do more here in Houston than I would say in Colorado, where it came really easy. It's like I could do very little and all of a sudden I would get a lot. But here is like, I love a challenge. It's not really a challenge. It's just it's encouraging me and making me come out of my own barriers that I set, my own invisible witchy walls that I've gotten comfortable in, and to express myself more and to come out and explore more. It's pulling that out of me. It's like, hey, this is stuff you're not used to, stuff you might have turned your head away from, but check us out. Check this out. Check that out. Do this more. Be more of a witch now, because it's requiring me to be more of a witch, because I have to put more energy out there. And as I do that, the universe is bringing me more. It's bringing me more. So I have really grown a lot here. In all this, in a challenge, there is always growth. So I have really grown a lot. I've grown with the people that I've known at the Psychic Hideaway and through to Soul Wave and so many other areas of my life. I have grown so much, leaps and bounds, I would say, from when I left Kansas 11 years ago. Oh no, it wasn't 11 years ago. It wasn't even near that. It was like eight years ago to now. So, and I went through life changes really quick. It was like real quick. And so people came in and I recycled them out as relationship-wise, to where now the only people that I want to be in a romantic relationship with are people that are like me. Or people that are open-minded enough, but I prefer people that are like me. So through all that recycling of people, and it wasn't a lot of people, it's like maybe a couple people, but that's okay if you recycle a lot of people. That's okay if you have a lot of people in your relationships, because I believe all of that is has its own beautiful energy to it in itself. So love yourself, embrace yourself, and tap into that witch's DNA. And I love you all. Thank you guys for visiting, and come back for my third podcast on Witch's DNA 101. Bye.